Democrat of the day today is the return of Representative Erin Murphy, the DFL endorsed candidate for governor. Primaries come up here on Tuesday, and she's kind enough to spend a little time talking about things and talking to you one final time on AM 950. Representative, thank you very much for the time.
It's nice to talk with you, Matt McNeil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Where are you at right now? What part of the state?
I'm in North Branch. I'm in the 8th Congressional District right now.
Beautiful. Well,
I was on a farm a little earlier in Renshaw, and now here in North Branch. Yep.
Well, you brought up farming. Let's start with that. The Farm Fest was this week. You talk about your experience down there.
So I've been to Farm Fest a number of times, and this is the first time I was there on a panel. We had a governor's forum there yesterday, but I was there for a couple of days, and my favorite part of the 2 days was seeing people in the line as they were heading in for a pancake breakfast.
Oh.
With people individually. So I had a great couple of days talking with Minnesotans. I always love going. And so it was great to be there.
Well, and it is one of those issues where it's interesting because this is what has been, you know, I mean, when they talk about, you know, the Republicans, namely Trump and his bread and butter, they talk about the rural parts of this country. But because of his policies, there's a lot of apprehension. And not only apprehension, but there's a lot of people that are stepping back and looking at other issues that were presented to by the Republicans, not only in the national level, but at the state level, and realizing they're not delivering here. Was there anxiety? Did you see palatable anxiety about this unnecessary trade war going on?
So, as I have been talking with Minnesotans who farm over the last bunch of years, the farm economy and the fact that our commodity prices aren't getting what people need, there has been increasing anxiety among farmers, and you hear it from them individually. And the erratic trade war and these tariffs that our current president has engaged in is going to impact our soybean growers. It's going to impact our pork farmers. We're going to see that impact in our state's economy when we lose access to markets in China, where we sell about 30% of our soybeans.
Yeah.
When we lose access to Mexico for our pork producers. And that's a real issue. And not only are we going to see it in this year, but I think the next year, as people move away from something like soybeans and plant more corn to try and boost their own family earnings, we're going to see then a depression there as well. So I am paying a lot of attention to our farmers, large and small, to the state of their, financial well-being. And yes, if you talk with farmers, especially individually, they are sharing the concerns. So we got to engage in more trade, and I will do that as the governor. But I also think we can make sure that we are taking care of the issue of health care, because the cost of health care, especially for people who are farming and live in small businesses and people living in greater Minnesota, the cost of health care is exquisitely high, and we can fix that. And we have to make sure that we continue to fund our schools and local government aid to make sure that people aren't paying the exorbitant property taxes that they have experienced, especially when Governor Pawlenty was in office. So there are things we can do to help our economy and to help our farmers, large and small, and I'm going to do that when I'm the governor.
And one of the things which is interesting is when I talked to Democrat of the Day, and I talked to a lot of outstate Democrats, it's interesting. First of all, obviously, this unnecessary trade war, as they all say, their margins are $25,000, $26,000 a year. There's not enough wiggle room to lose 30% of your crop opportunity on anything there. But as well, the other issues you bring up, health care is number one. Once again, once these margins are here, and we've had Republicans in the Minnesota House and Senate swear, oh, we're going to take care of health care. They haven't done anything. And the farmers are seeing, once again, with those tiny little margins, they're seeing their health insurance prices go up and up and up because the promise of the Republican promise of cheaper health care that's going to be better has never come to fruition. We're going back to the days of pre-existing conditions. And basically, your two options being, if you, God forbid, you get you're really sick, being bankrupt or death. And those are the only two options. And I think that this is something that in the ag community, and it does carry over to the metro area as well, but for the ag community, the Republican promises have been failed dramatically.
So I would agree with you. This is a statewide issue. It's top of mind for people and has been for the last 20 months as I have been a candidate for governor. And I have the experience and the head and the heart to take this issue on and to lead. And make sure that people have access to health care that they can count on, especially when they're sick. I have watched, you know, I've been working, Matt, in this policy area for 26 years. I was an organizer for the Minnesota Nurses Association when we passed Minnesota Care. And the market and the market's reaction in the wake of the passage of the Affordable Care Act is unlike anything that I've seen before. The drug companies, you know, charging exceptionally high prices for drugs that have been on the market for decades. We're watching both in our public programs and in our commercial markets, people getting surprise bills for things that they didn't know about. I met a farmer at Farm Fest a year ago whose wife was in the hospital for observation, and he got a $20,000 bill that he didn't expect because her care was out of network, so to speak. And we know, you know, there's a story of a family that I have met and have been talking a lot about, their son, Alec, who lost his life because he was rationing his insulin, and he couldn't afford it after he lost access to his parents' health care coverage. And a 26-year-old in Minnesota should not lose their life because they can't afford a medication that's been available since the 1920s. That is a clear signal to us that the market is not there to serve the interests of Minnesotans who need health care. They're padding their bottom lines. I'm tired of it, and so are Minnesotans. And we're going to get ourselves onto a path to single payer when I'm elected governor.
Absolutely. That sounds fantastic. You brought up education. Once again, let's remind everyone, Erin Murphy, the DFL-endorsed candidate for governor, joining us right now. Primary day is on Tuesday. You bring up education. This is another big issue for outstate Minnesota, but it also goes into the inner city of Minneapolis and St. Paul. There is a real screwed up, you know, system of funding of our education system. Outstate schools have been bearing a brunt of it, and it's been meaning cuts. It's been meaning, you know, getting rid of programs, getting rid of teachers. It's something that's pretty precarious. It's not going to be an easy fix. Talk about the funding issue for schools statewide and what you would do as governor when it comes down to making sure there's more equity when it comes to the financing of schools.
Now, Minnesotans expect, and it is our constitutional obligation, to make sure that every child gets an excellent education at our public schools across the state of Minnesota. And as the governor, I will make sure that we achieve that goal for the people of Minnesota. And I think we have to look at two gaps. I think we have to make sure that the funding for our schools across the state is equitable. Absolutely. And I was in an elementary school in North Minneapolis earlier this year, and it was really challenging to spend time talking with the educators and the staff in that hospital because they know that they are experiencing declining enrollment as students are choosing schools outside of Minneapolis and going to neighboring suburban schools. And that declining enrollment has continued funding pressure on that school, and they're really concerned about their ability to meet the needs of the community. I remember being in Cook County, and visiting the school there, the high school, and being in a chemistry lab that looked a lot like the chemistry lab that I was a part of when I was going to high school. Mm-hmm. And it shows me that we need to continue to fine-tune the funding formulas to make sure that our schools across the state are getting equitable funding so they can prepare their young learners for their bright future. But we also have to pay attention to the opportunity gap. And when I'm the governor, we're going to close that opportunity gap. It opens for our youngest learners before they come to school, and we need to do a much better job in investing in early learning, in high-quality childcare, in pre-K, in home visiting, to make sure that our kids are coming to school ready to learn and that they are coming to our schools ready to participate fully in our economy. And I do have a very robust agenda. It's called Our Promise Agenda. My commitment to Minnesotans that I'm going to focus on education. It's my commitment to our children that they're going to get their best opportunity in our public schools when I am the governor. And I got to tell you, I am super excited that Governor Dayton has endorsed my candidacy and this campaign. He's been a strong leader on education. So will I be.
The other issue here, and this is, I think, a dynamic issue, which I think needs to be addressed, because once again, every outstate Democrat I've talked to says this, one of the top three issues, broadband. While we are focusing on possibly environmentally dangerous industrial expansion in Minnesota for the sake of 300 jobs or so, if we were to put in infrastructure for broadband across the state, in certain regions, we would generate 20, 30,000 jobs, good paying jobs too, as we open up the state for business, not just in the metro area cores, but everywhere. Do you feel as if do you feel broadband is an infrastructure issue, like electricity, like roads, that we should basically change our mentality, or do you feel as if we should, you know, offer more incentives to the private sector to basically get them to try to get more broadband everywhere?
I am committed to border-to-border broadband and actually have a plan to pay for it. Our Connect Minnesota plan will use the sales tax revenue that is going to come into the state of Minnesota as a result of a Supreme Court decision. That sales tax revenue is new to the state. It's between $140 and $200 million a year. I'm committed to dedicating that to completing the job on border-to-border broadband for the people of Minnesota. It's an issue for communities, especially in rural Minnesota, but it's also an issue for North Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And when we announced this plan, they asked me if I intended to complete the job for them as well. I am. We know that broadband is critical to education and higher education, to healthcare and telehealth. It is critical to commerce and our ability to connect with one another across the state of Minnesota. It's fundamental to the way our economy works today. And it needs to be equally available for people across the state of Minnesota. I've got a plan, a way to pay for it. We're going to get that done.
And what is interesting about that issue is that it has evolved, and that, you know, the Republicans have been giving lip service to this for 10 years. They're never going to follow through on it. But this has become, it's a technology which has become, like electricity was in, say, the 1920s, it has become a major infrastructure issue, that a state issue, that you can't just expect the private sector to go do this, because really there's not a lot of incentive for them to go into places like Crane Lake or Angle Inlet or, you know, into Isabella, you know, to get it there. But the reality is you can create a lot of jobs in some small communities with just having broadband access available.
I met a woman, I was at a Rural Arts and Culture Summit in Morris, University of Minnesota, Morris. And there was a woman there who's a documentary film producer. She'd gone to Pepperdine University. She'd grown up in Minnesota and decided to live in Appleton, Minnesota, because she knew she would have good access to broadband. And she, with that, could do her job anywhere she wanted to. She chose Appleton because she wanted to live there because of the community itself. She made that choice because she had access to the thing that allowed her to do her job. It is critical to our communities across the state. Minnesotans are very, very frustrated when they hear elected officials promise something and then not follow through. And that's happening on major, major pieces of infrastructure when we think about transit and transportation, our higher education system, our K-12 schools, and broadband, our water infrastructure. Minnesotans understand that the politics inside our capital right now are not serving our interests or meeting the needs of our future, and they're willing to get behind a candidate who's willing to stand up and say, here's where we need to go. Here's how we can do it. Here's a concrete plan. And I'm going to work hard to organize and build the support to move this agenda through the legislature. That's why we're in such a strong position in this race.
Well, and kudos to you bringing up the fact that even in the metro area, there are lower income neighborhoods where they have not put the broadband, and it really is something that's hurting us even in the metro area, not having a state, as you said, border to border broadband.
That's right. Yeah. And as I listen to Minnesotans, like they say over and over again, the thing that matters to my community, child care, elder care, broadband, transit, those things that help our community succeed are being neglected by a kind of politics that is really oriented around beating up the other side and winning the next election. And it's time for us to do what we have always done as Minnesotans, to recognize that we have power when we stand together, that we can take on every tough issue and make progress for the people of Minnesota. And that's what I intend to do when I'm the governor, to build a future that includes all of us all over the state of Minnesota.
Well, and that's brilliant. And because I've been saying, don't tell me why I shouldn't vote for the other guy. Tell me why I should vote for you. And you're giving a lot of great reasons. But it doesn't surprise me. I tell everyone this story when I get the chance. About 6 years ago, you and I had a cup of coffee. I went home. I told my wife, I said, my goodness, Aaron Murphy is going to be a leader of the future. It was one of those things where I'm glad you're running for higher offices. I'm not saying you weren't a great representative. You were very well beloved in the House. We loved you there. But you've got true leadership, and it's great to see your campaign. I want to drive everyone to your website, murphyformn.com, right?
That's exactly right.
murphyformn.com. Reminder, the primary comes up here on Tuesday. You can find out more information about Aaron Murphy, and I'm presuming you're going to be doing a little bit of door knocking and working this weekend, correct?
You know, our campaign is ready for the general election. We've built something so strong. We've knocked over 100,000 doors in this campaign, made, wow, you know, thousands of contacts by phone. We are connecting with Minnesotans all over the state with a bold vision for our future. And I'm really excited about these next few days as we turn out the vote so we win the primary and take on whichever Republican comes through that primary. I am ready to win that general election, and I'm ready to lead the state. And I hope your listeners will use their superpower, the power of their vote, and cast it in this primary on August 14th. And I'd be honored to earn your support and your vote, and know that I will not quit working for the people of Minnesota.
Murphy4MN.com, Murphy4MN.com. I'll link to all this a little bit later on. Representative, thank you very much. I know your schedule is very busy. I do appreciate it, and thanks for the time. All my best to you.
Thank you very much. It's great to talk.
Great talking to you. Aaron Murphy, representative, and of course, the DFL-endorsed candidate for governor as they head for the primary. That comes up here on Tuesday, 952-946-6205. Whoever she takes on from the Republican Party, you mean beige and whole milk? Jeez, I wonder which one you'll be able to take down. Let's take a break. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Yes, international movement superstar.